Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in The Union Edge. We appreciate that very much. And right now, stick around for Mark Belanger of Labor Radio.
Hello, I'm Mark Belanger from Radio Labor, reporting for The Union Edge. This is a Radio Labor News update recorded on Monday, October 20th, 2014. I'm Mark Belanger. In the UK on Saturday, October 18th, almost 90,000 people marched through the streets of London to demand a wage increase, a pay rise, for the country's workers, including an increase in the minimum wage. Francis O'Grady is the General Secretary of the UK's Trades Union Congress, the TUC. The workers in Britain were supported by global union federations and national union centres all over the world. They sent solidarity messages to the British workers and tied the UK struggle for decent wages to their own national fights.
The world needs a pay rise. I'm Sharon Burrow, the General Secretary of the ITUC, the International Trade Union Confederation. We represent 180 million workers around the world. They know that indeed their economies, their families depend on just wages. The world is wage-led, and yet over the last three decades, we've seen workers robbed of wages that have gone to profits. We've seen inequality grow to the massive proportions that it's now not just an issue for the dignity of workers, but indeed for the global economy. You are standing up for justice, for the right for a minimum wage on which you can live, and indeed for collective bargaining. When we put back these income measures, along with social protection that guarantees people a civilised, secure environment, then we know it will make a difference. Just wages for workers in the UK, you have the support of the global union movement. Solidarity.
Solidarity, brothers and sisters. My name is Rich Trumka, and I'm the president of the American Federation of Labor, the Congress of Industrial Organizations, the AFL-CIO. On behalf of the 13 million working men and women of the American labor movement, I'd like to express our solidarity with our brothers and sisters in the UK in your efforts to call for an economic recovery that works for all Britons. Just like in the UK, working families here in the U.S. and worldwide need a pay raise. We see time and time again that the country's top earners continue to make their pockets fat while workers earning at or below the minimum wage are having trouble just making ends meet. Tell the government that it's working families who make the country stronger and more productive. Tell them that increasing the minimum wage doesn't damage job growth. In fact, it's the opposite. It causes job growth. U.S. workers are also taking to the streets to demand a raise in wages. So on both sides of the Atlantic, workers are unified in our struggle. On behalf of the American labor movement, we'll continue to support you in your efforts to achieve an economic recovery that works for all Britons. Solidarity.
I am Rosa Pavanelli, General Secretary of PSI, Public Services International, the global union organizing public services workers and promoting quality public services throughout the world. Our solidarity message goes to all the UK workers who are demonstrating today against the continuing pay freezes and caps while the cost of living is rising. It's a shame that 500,000 workers in the United Kingdom are paid less than the living wage, and more people are being forced into poverty.
My name's Ron Oswald. I'm the General Secretary of the International Union representing food, agricultural, hospitality, beverage workers around the world. We want to send greetings to all of you from our membership globally. We represent agricultural workers in the Global South who need a fair reward for their labour and they need a wage rise. Our service workers who face an assault on their rights, an assault through outsourced work, zero-hour contracts here in the UK, in the hospitality industry. They need a decent wage, they need a union, and they need a wage rise.
And that's it. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.
You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. For more information about the show, go to theunionedge.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate that. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. We appreciate that very much, too. Also, folks, just want to ask you, you know, go to our website, theunionedge.com. Sign up for our e-activist newsletter. If you're local, your organization needs some help, we'll get the word out for you. If you're willing to help, we'll get the word to you. It's called Solidarity. We're all in this together, and we are working to improve our communities. One final thing. 15 days, go vote. To help me talk about this and some other things, we've got Bill Lonergan, president of the Kentucky AFL-CIO. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Charles. Great to be here.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Always a pleasure. I understand that you just had the opportunity to be at a rally for Alison Lonergan Grimes. Obviously, the candidate who's going to win, not only because she's got superior, you know, vision for the state of Kentucky, but she's got better looking hair.
Well, I don't even want to go there because there's no contest on that end of it, let's face it. And let me just say to you and the viewing, the listening audience that, you know, we've got a heck of a race down here right now, and we're still looking for support for Allison's campaign. And she is out there hitting the pavement. Today we were at a senior citizens housing development that Labor has been a big part of. And we had the press conference and our little rally about Medicare, Social Security, and those things that affect those seniors that were in this rally, and the response was awesome. They get it. They know that if McConnell stays there and they privatize Social Security, it's going to be a tough pull for them. And, you know, we talk about Medicare, and we talk about the donut hole, and we talk about all that stuff, Charles, and how we move forward and how McConnell and the rest of his bunch just want to take us back again. So I think they're... people of Kentucky are waking up. It's just a great feeling because there's a lot of folks out here that may have supported McConnell over the years and have pretty much said he's been there too long, Charles, and he's got to go. And we've got a wonderful, very intelligent, compassionate, hardworking woman named Alison Lundgren Grimes, who's our Secretary of State, who is going to take over the mantle of the U.S. Senate over there and do things that are good for people, not just for corporations and the Koch brothers.
Bill, I don't understand it. You know, look, you talk about Medicare, you talk about Social Security. The wow, that's annoying and loud and stuff like that. We got you plotted down just for a second, Bill. But the cost for the government and civil servants to run Social Security is like 1%. Okay. And anybody who's got a 401k or a mutual fund or investments out there, you know that they take a chunk off the front end of that when you deposit the money. They take a chunk every year for maintenance. And when you pull the money back out, they take another chunk again. Adds up to a whole heck of a lot more than 1% or so, which I don't understand why some people here in the United States want to get it to the point where everybody's money is paying the private sector to do something that government employees and the civil service are doing safely, effectively, and cost-effectively. Bill.
Well, Charles, just think about it. What Social Security, what it had its 50-year anniversary not long ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never missed a payment. Amazing, right? For all those years, and they want to act like it's on the verge of collapse every time we turn around so they can get their greedy hands on it and give it over to their friends at Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs and all those folks up on Wall Street. And Charles, I got to tell you, you know, I've been fortunate to be in a union and to have a defined benefit plan, Charles. And I also have a 401k as well. And I got to tell you, there's very little chance of retiring with any kind of dignity or security or economic wherewithal with the 401k. they just, you know, the money is just not going to be there for folks. It's not going to be there for me in a 401k with the defined benefit plan. I know what I can draw when I reach retirement age. And that's where you get your security from having that knowledge about how much money you're going to have coming in later life when you aren't able or don't want to work anymore or you're retired. And, you know, I don't understand how people have been, you know, buying this stuff. Somehow or other, if they can invest it themselves, oh, they're going to make a whole lot more money. And really, it just don't work that way. They're much more vulnerable by themselves.
Right.
And they are in a group fund, you know.
And the other thing I'm looking at is you know, Enron. You know, I mean, the private sector, they were able to swindle tens of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, lost their pensions, lost everything they had, and you turn around, that doesn't happen with the federal government. It doesn't happen with Social Security. So why we want to subject our seniors and our future seniors to that kind of stuff is just way beyond me. Now, I can understand why some people are trying to push for that, because those companies that tend to, they're going to make 10 or 15% of the money that goes into Social Security in profits, well, they're trying to get some senators to buy off on that and say it's the greatest thing since sliced fraud. I mean, bread.
Well, you know, it's another one of the frauds or the fallacies that they've been putting forward here. You know, Charles, we can just go down the list here. Free trade. Oh, yeah, that's going to create all these jobs here and lift all those workers in Mexico out of poverty and, you know, give us a greater standard of living and everything like that, right? Free
mm-hmm.
trade, you know, it's the same, you know, line that they use. And what happens is the free trade doesn't help anybody but the rich and large corporations that are profiting at enormous levels. And, you know, we're losing jobs continuously. And the folks that are left here trying to work, you know, they're undermined because they can just threaten them with moving these jobs overseas, which they do routinely. And we end up with, you know, collective bargaining agreements that have to have two-tier systems in it and everything to try and protect these jobs and stop them from moving overseas. And it's just one thing after another. And, you know, McConnell is the poster child for all of this nonsense that goes on up there with all the obstructionism, any kind of progressive legislation. Oh, minimum wage increase. McConnell's voted against minimum wage increases 17 times during his career as a U.S. senator.
Bill,
and he's voted every time for his own pay increase.
Yeah, and Bill, there's a lot of other things that he's voted for that disturb me and a lot of things that he should have voted for that he didn't vote for. And I'm going to ask you, because I did not fact check this one, but it is my understanding that shortly after U.S. military troops went into Iraq, second time around, that when the Army was asking for up-armored Humvees, he voted that one down. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know specifically, but I know that he has voted against military pay, and he's voted against veterans and veterans benefits and funding of the VA. So that would just fall in line with his entire way of operating, Charles. And, you know, he put on a TV commercial that'll have him with his arm around a veteran and hugging him and acting like he's their best friend. And he'll go to Washington and either block legislation or vote against it that would help that very same person. And it is really a travesty. And I think people of Kentucky are finally waking up to what he's been doing to them for all these decades. And I think the bloom's off the rose. We got ourselves a horse race here. Allison Lundgren Grimes is now up by 2 points. And, you know, we're going for it right down to the end here, Charles. We've got people out knocking on doors. We've got people hitting doors, thousands of them a day on the ground. We have Cecil Roberts, president of the United Mine Workers, is coming back in here on next week, on Tuesday and Wednesday. He's going to be in East Kentucky. He's going to be in West Kentucky. And he's going to dispel the myth that McConnell is a friend of the coal industry. Well, obviously, he's a friend of the coal operators. He certainly is no friend of the coal miners. Over the years, he's voted against black lung benefits, funding for MSHA, all sorts of safety regulations. And then he wants to come over and say, oh, I'm a big friend of coal, and I am, somebody that's going to, you know, stand up for the coal industry. But what he does, he stands up for the coal operators and leaves the workers behind.
Yeah, there you go. Bill, listen, we got to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk about this some more. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Stick around for Jim Hightower.
The bozos are loose again, regurgitating their own paranoia and propaganda to advance their doleful agenda of fear. Take Representative Duncan Hunter, please. This self-promoting bozo constantly sounds off, louder than a car alarm on the fritz, honking and squealing about some bugaboo he's dreamed up. In a recent Fox News episode, the far-right California Congress critter was in full panic mode, wailing that Islamic State terrorists were entering our country from Mexico. ISIS is coming across the southern border, he panted. I know that at least 10 ISIS fighters have been caught coming across the Mexican border in Texas, he breathlessly asserted, adding sternly that while there's going to be dozens more that did not get caught. Really? How does he know that? Mr. Fearmonger wouldn't say, refusing to reveal his sources. Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security calls his claim of an ISIS intrusion from Mexico, quote, categorically false, not supported by any credible intelligence or the facts on the ground. Of course, right-wing delusions are impenetrable by mere facts, and Hunter is not about to believe anything said by Homeland officials working in the administration of the man he considers Satan incarnate, Barack Obama. But, oopsie-daisy, Duncan's delusion got deflated by the Republican-led Department of Public Safety in Texas, which also looked into his foam-at-the-mouth warnings. In an email to state legislators, the agency reported that DPS does not have any information to confirm Hunter's specific statements. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's embarrassing to learn that boneheads like this are actually taking up space in the United States Congress. No wonder they never get anything done. Duncan should not be in Congress. He ought to be sitting in a dunking booth at your state fair.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of RAD. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'm Rachel Ray, and food is not only the way I make my living, it's how I spend time with my family and friends. It's hard to imagine true hunger, but sadly, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal will come from. They're your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger to find out how you can make a difference. I'm Rachel Ray, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in Union Edge. On the line with us right now is Bill Londrigan, president of the Kentucky AFL-CIO. Bill, welcome back, brother.
Thank you, Charles. Great to be here.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. We appreciate your efforts and all the things that you're doing down for working folks down in Kentucky. We appreciate that very much. Bill, I wanted to ask you a question. I mean, the polls are up, polls are down. you know, we talk with our friends from Michigan. You know, Buck Gino, well, Work in Progress Radio, he's a local township supervisor. He talks to his constituents. Some are on the left-hand side of the aisle, some are on the right, some are down the middle. They're all madder than a wet cat at Governor Snyder. Are we seeing people down in Kentucky madder than a wet cat with Mitch McConnell?
Yes, I do. I think that folks are just, you know, totally, you know, they're over it. They're over him. They're over his obstructionism and, you know, all the things that he's done to try and turn back the clock on working people. And, you know, when somebody's been in a position like that for 30 years, Charles, you know, it certainly is a long time and too long for an elected representative who's done nothing to help people in Kentucky. You know, during the break there, I heard one of the ads about poverty and hunger. And, you know, here in Kentucky, of course, our poverty rate has increased during the time that McConnell's been in office. And really, that's a shameful statistic that, you know, when we know that children are going hungry and people are having a hard time putting food on the table, it really is, you know, a cynical way of operating. And I just want to tell you that people in Kentucky are looking for a change. They're looking for a fresh voice. They're looking for somebody that will look out for their interests, somebody with some compassion that will care about their daily lives, not somebody that's up there caring about how much his investments are making this day or whether he's getting enough money from the Koch brothers.
You know, and I think that's an unfortunate thing. And I think that, you know, Bill, we've had people for far too long just say, you know what, my vote doesn't count. When it does, your vote does count. It most assuredly counts. Fighting
it's
back.
It's all about turnout. It's all about turnout. That's what we've been preaching to folks down here, Charles. It's all about turnout. We've got more people registered that are Democrats in Kentucky than they have as Republicans by a pretty good margin. And we keep telling folks it's all about getting out to vote. It's about bringing your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, getting them in the game, letting them know how important this is. And something I think you've said over and over again, that these elections have consequences. They have consequences for every individual. You know, Charles, if McConnell gets to be president of the U.S. Senate, and that would be a very, very bad day for the country, it would be a very bad day for workers. You know, he's already introduced the National Right to Work for Less bill. I'm sure he would be working like the devil to try and push that through. All the anti-union legislation that is on the table will be moving forward. You know, he wants to obstruct everything that comes up that's good for people, but when it comes to things that aren't good for him, he's really willing to get those voted on. And, you know, if we end up with Mitch McConnell remaining in the Senate or being elected Senate president, the country's going to be much worse off.
Bill, one of the polls saying Allison Lundgren Grimes up by two. Is that a strong two? What are we thinking?
Well, I think, you know, the polls aren't, you know, they're not favoring McConnell. Let's face that, okay? And that's a real good sign because, Charles, they've spent over $50 million trying to defeat Allison Lundgren Grimes. They spent over $50 million trying to make McConnell look like somebody that he is not, and it's not working. You know, if it was working, then, you know, you'd expect him to be far away ahead of Allison Lundgren Grimes. But that is not the case. She's been sticking with him, and all the polls have been showing her up a couple points. And that is really indicative of what's going on out here. Charles, we've knocked on people's doors across Kentucky. We've knocked on union members' doors and people that are not in unions. And a lot of those folks have the same feeling about McConnell that we do, that it's time for him to go. And they have not been bashful about expressing that notion. And knowing that, I think McConnell's running scared, and he's going to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at Allison Lundgren Grimes here in the last 15 days. And this is, you know, goes down all the way down to the state house races where we have, you know, the competition to try and the Republicans trying to take over our state house of representatives. And, you know, McConnell's shoveling tons of money in their direction, and they're sending out mailers. Charles, we have a one state house member who's been in
for one term. He's a great guy. He's a great labor supporter. He's a great friend of workers. He lives in a rural county. And you know what? They're doing robocalls down there, Charles, trying to tie him to Ebola.
Well, now, there you go.
It sounds crazy, but it's true. And then they'll do anything out of desperation to hang something around someone's neck to, you know, convince people that they're something they're not.
Yeah, absolutely. And the rhetoric just keeps getting deeper and deeper, sillier and sillier. And, you know, I get it. I got to tell you, you know, I'm actually hearing people I'm not having a discussion with. You know, we all know that people get tired, burn out when it comes to the political commercials, the political campaigns on TV, on the radio. They get tired of it. Okay. But I'm actually hearing people say, and I don't know what their political party is, but they're saying, you know what? This rhetoric about Ebola, I'm getting tired of hearing people saying this is the president's fault, this is what he wanted, this is showing his African roots and all this kind of other stuff. And they're saying, you know what, I'm tired of this, and I don't want to hear these people anymore. I want them to go to work and get something done.
The people want a new atmosphere. They want a new way of doing things in Washington. And you know as well as I do, that is not going to happen unless we change the people that are sitting in those seats up there. And, you know, we all know that our country is not going in the right direction, that wages are not keeping pace with inflation, that folks are increasing in poverty. All these very negative indicators are out there, you know, in profusion, and, you know, people realize that, and that they're struggling every day to try and, you know, put food on the table and to have a decent life and have a decent job. And, you know, we got politicians in Washington that are so far removed from the average worker and their daily life. You know, somebody like McConnell has worth between $20 and $30 million. I can't really see him having any empathy for a man or a woman that goes out and works night shift or unloads trucks over UPS or does building trades work in the construction industry. I just can't see any empathy whatsoever between McConnell and people that make this country run.
Absolutely, Bill. We appreciate it. Listen, Bill, I know you got a lot of work to do. Thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it. How do we find out more about you and the Kentucky AFL?
AFL. We've got the Kentucky AFL-CIO website, www.kyaflcio.org, and we have our Facebook page of AFL-CIO-KY, and we invite folks to check it out and to see what's going on down here, and lend a hand if you can to help us get rid of Mitch McConnell, not only for Kentucky, but for the entire nation.
Absolutely, brother. And, you know, dude, try and get a little bit of rest. You're going to need it. You got 15 days late, more, but we're in the final stretch.
We're ready to go, Charles. We're ready to have victory on November 4th for all the workers of America.
Folks, go out and vote. Make sure you vote. I'm Charles Showalter. That was Bill Lonergan, the Kentucky AFL CIO. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Stick around for Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News.